Brother Jance and his crew, or Brother Jonathan and his crew, and then the Peters tonight, and the Cook family. Just enjoy seeing our families sing together. If you wouldn't, your Bibles tonight, turn to Hebrews chapter 4, and I got the pulpit a little early. Maybe we'll get out early. We'll see. See how this goes. I hadn't planned on being long tonight. I hope you had a good Mother's Day afternoon and took her somewhere good to eat. We had a good lunch. I did get a nap today, a little nap. Maybe you got one. Going to cook some fish after church if y'all, no, I'm just kidding. I can't invite everybody. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Bible says here, and I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm going to read that again. Let us therefore, because we have this great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the way, is greater than Aaron, who had no need to make a sacrifice for himself and then for the people, but he made one sacrifice for all and sat down. And so, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find, what does it say there? Grace to help in time of need. And Brother Stuart mentioned again this morning grace. We're just going to talk about God's amazing grace tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace that brought us to salvation. And Lord, may we again be reminded of the grace that helps us, the grace that enables us, empowers us in this life. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Remember the verse that says, but through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me this far, and grace that'll lead me home. It's grace of God that saved us. We're saved by grace through faith, and it's the grace of God that which we should live by. And we've heard this many times, but again, to be reminded tonight that the grace of God is not just God's unmerited favor, as Brother Stuart mentioned this morning, but it's God's unmerited favor even unto enablement. That it's the grace of God that we find God, again, God's unmerited favor, God's unearned favor, that grace, salvation's free, but also God's grace to live life every day, to get up every morning, to face the day, to face the circumstances in your life, to face adversity, to face the good things in your life. All of these things we face and we are enabled through and by the grace of God. The grace of God every day. We need to recognize that God's grace leads us even during times of suffering and during times of trial, during times of detours that come into our life. As I've already mentioned, it's grace that stirs our faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Most of you have it memorized. You ought to, if you don't, you ought to have it memorized. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not at works, lest any man should boast. Salvation, I am thankful, is free. I'm glad salvation's free. One of our theme song for the Norris Seminary. I'm thankful that I don't have to earn God's favor. Because I fail miserably. I fail miserably. It's one thing to try to please your earthly dad and make him proud of you or whatever the case may be. It's another thing to try to please the Heavenly Father who is perfect. And by the way, requires perfection. Hello? I mean, can't enter heaven unless you're perfect. And so I'm so thankful that that grace is given to us as a part of salvation. Grace for God's forgiveness of sins, and grace that gives us that love, and grace that gives us that unmerited love, unearned love. God's grace leads us to salvation. I want to remind you tonight, again, that salvation's free. Are you saved tonight? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? You don't have to go, you don't have to be better than your next door neighbor. You don't have to live, you don't have to give to the church or give to the Red Cross, or you don't have to, you know, your good works don't have to outweigh your bad works in order to get to heaven. No, salvation is free. Salvation's free. Hope you know you're saved tonight. Number two, it is again grace that enables us. It's grace that continues in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, Paul says this, God is able I'm thankful he's able. He's able to do anything. But he's able to make all grace abound toward you. Make all grace abound. Not just give you a little touch of it, but abound. Overflowing grace to give you in your time of need. Again, God rises to every need in your life. God arises in every area of your life and every need in your life and gives us inner working grace. God works in us that he might work through us. God works in us. God works from the inside out. Hello? I know Tanya's sister just had a tree fall in her yard and fell on top of the neighbor's car. Not very fun to come out and see your tree has fallen on the neighbor's vehicle. But as they looked at the tree, it was one of those trees that looked very good on the outside, looked like nothing was wrong with the tree. It was a big old tree, big tree. But guess what? It was rotten on the inside. It was rotted on the inside. I'm just thankful that God works on the inside out. And be reminded, you can look fine on the outside and be rotten on the inside. And that's why God washes us by his word. He cleanses us thoroughly. He cleanses us from the inside out. He works from the inside out. We want to take deep root. And again, that grace that he gives us to work in us. He's still working on us. I am thinking of a scripture, this new Bible. See, I turned to a scripture and I'm in a new Bible. And I would know exactly where it's at in my other Bible. But let's see if I can find it. Yeah, here we go. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Working in you. God works in us. His grace works in us. The resource of grace, without the resource of grace, we would not have salvation. Absolutely. As we grow in grace, we understand that God is our sufficiency. What did Peter say? What did Paul say? Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I gave you the chain link here last week, but the chain link is this. The more we know Christ, the more we get to know him, as Paul said, that I might know him, as King David said, that as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As we know Christ more, we grow in grace. As we grow in grace, we are strengthened by that grace, And he gives us, again, that grace and sufficiency. God's grace abounds in times of neglect. God's grace abounds in times of neglect. God keeps us humble when we feel strong. God builds us up when we hurt and are weak. God's grace, listen to this one, God's grace is unlimited. Unlimited. We are limited. Our power is limited. As I get older, my power physically is even more limited. God's power is not limited. His grace is unlimited. And we always make fun, I do, kind of some of the Johnny Flanagan songs that I like to sing, but here comes Jesus' grace again, just about the time I'm needed. He always, always brings his grace in the time that we need it. Why? Because he's promised to. And God always keeps his promise. And no matter what we face, no matter what we endure, no matter what neglect we go through, God's grace is there for us. It is God's grace that carries us. God's grace that carries us. Just this last week, the James's kids came over to our house for a little bit, and we took them out to see the goats. And we needed to carry a bucket. I had a bucket of feed, a couple of buckets of feed. But I had something else I wanted to carry. And I thought about, well, anyway, so I thought, well, what do I do with this bucket? And so I almost handed it to one of the kids. And I said, in my mind, I said, this is too heavy for her. The bucket was too heavy for her. Isn't it amazing how we as parents and we as adults, we understand when something's too heavy for a little kid, a little child. Do you understand that God, who's all-knowing, knows when something's too heavy for you. He knows when something's too heavy for you. He's promised. He's promised to never put us through anything that we cannot handle. We know that. We know that. Look at 1 Corinthians. You've seen the verse 100 times probably, but let's look at it real quick. 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians in a minute anyway, but look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you. Here's still a page is turning, but look at this verse again. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. I know I've said this again. I think of things I've said 100 times, but some of you haven't heard it. It's amazing to me how people have come to me for counseling, and over the years how 95, 97% of everyone who comes to me who says, "Preacher, I got this going on in my life, I got this going on in my marriage, I got this going on," and they kind of get in their mind think they're the only one. They're the only one. And it's amazing to me how about 95% of all the things that come through my office, others are experiencing at the same time. And I like to remind couples, or I like to remind that individual, hey, I'm not going to tell you who, but there's other people in our church family who are experiencing the same adversity. There's other people who are going through these same problems. Such as is common, it says. Such as is common. But God is faithful. He is that, isn't He? Always faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And just as, again, as I, in my mind, weighed whether or not little Abby, which she's back there, little Abby could carry that bucket of feed or not, I made the choice for her not to carry it because I, in my mind, knew that she couldn't, and it wouldn't be good for a little, it might have been funny to watch, but I wouldn't do that to her. So does God. Absolutely knows how much you can carry. He knows exactly what you can carry. He knows exactly what you can carry with His grace. With His grace. Through His enabling power. He knows exactly what you can be entrusted with. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just a few pages over. God's grace is far better than a counselor. God's grace is far better than pastor's words. You can come to my office, and I certainly, as I said this morning, our offices are open. Myself, Brother Wiggins, we're always available if you need some help and counseling. But can I tell you, the grace of God is far better than anything that we could give to you, far better than any psychologist or psychiatrist or even a friend could give you. The grace of God is amazing. Most of us have experienced it. Most of you have experienced it. And the grace of God strengthens us. The grace of God empowers us to live a life that God meant for us to live. By the way, an abundant life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look with me in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? Look back at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. And I'm going to stop there. What is this treasure? This treasure is the New Testament ministry. This treasure that he's speaking about here, that Paul's speaking about, is the New Testament ministry that God has entrusted to us. This New Testament ministry, the Holy Spirit indwelling us, the Holy Spirit that we are the temple of God, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. This ministry, the New Testament ministry, unlike the Old Testament, that was glorious, that was good, Paul said, but the New Testament's far more glorious. The Old Testament ministry, the Old Testament covenant was glorious, but the New Testament ministry, the New Testament covenant is far more glorious. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon them. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. By the way, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would leave them. He came upon them and left. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes once at salvation and never leaves. This New Testament ministry we have, it says, in earthen vessels. You remember years ago, and you probably won't, I preached a message called Clay Pots. We're just simply clay pots. I talked about going to Dollar General and buying a little piece of, you know, little piece of pottery, a little bowl of some sort. That's what we are. That's what the Bible's referring to here. You're just clay pots. You're just this clay pot's referencing to what a Jew would use to put their garbage in, just a clay pot. We have this ministry, this New Testament covenant, this New Testament promise, this New Testament grace of God, all the New Testament that is entailed in it. We have that in our earthen vessels, in our clay pots that are fragile, that are not worth a whole lot. This totally goes against self-esteem, doesn't it? The self-esteem teaching. We're zero. We're a zero without God. Without Him, we're a zero. We need Him. We need to depend upon Him. And that dependence is found through His grace, through the grace that He gives us. We're fragile pots. The Bible refers to our earthen vessels as vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away, as dust that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. I'm glad we got some rain. We need some more. but my couple of lots here in the city of Haslett, one of them, the goats couldn't keep up with it, so it grew faster than the goats could eat it, and we ended up with wildflowers everywhere. It looked really pretty. And then we mowed them down. Then flowers will be there for a little bit, but give it another month or two, they won't be there no more. It's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. It's Texas. And pretty soon those flowers will be gone. We mowed the front yard. The yellow flowers are already back. Spring right back. Don't take long. The heat will come. Already here. Sun will shine. And the flowers gone. That's what the Bible refers to as our bodies. Our life is just a little bit. Just a vapor. Just dust. Just green grass and beautiful flowers that the sun hits and withers them and they're gone. We're just clay pots. Look at verse 7 again. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of what? God and not of us. So that we would depend upon Him. So that we would trust Him. So that we would lean upon Him and not ourselves, understanding that we are fragile, that we are simply clay pots, that we would put our faith and trust in Him, that we would wait upon Him. We are troubled, verse 8, on every side, yet not distressed. What? He just said you were clay pots. And now he says we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about the body, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be what? Manifest in our bodies. Look at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. All things, good and the bad, are for your sakes. That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. In other words, God has put things into your life. God has allowed things into your life that He might be glorified in all those things. That He might receive the glory. I don't know how many times, and sometimes you'll catch this now when I'm praying, especially about mamas and mamas who are going to have babies. And certainly we want to see that baby be born healthy, and we want to see that baby be born, just thriving. But we also want every baby to be born in the world to glorify God. God has a purpose for every birth and every child. And God has a purpose for every circumstance that comes into your life. And the primary reason, the primary thing that should, or the primary purpose of that is that He might receive the glory. That He might receive the glory. And He gives you grace. He knows, again, just about how much you can carry. We need to trust God just like we trust our parents growing up. I trusted my parents growing up. Did you? Maybe you lived in a home where you couldn't trust your parents. I'm thankful I lived in a home where I could trust my parents, where I could trust my dad, I could trust my mom, that they had my best interest in mind. I loved coming home and there was a meal on the table. I loved that there was cereal in the cabinet. There was milk in the refrigerator. I could trust my parents. If I could trust my earthly parents, surely I can trust my Heavenly Father who has unlimited resources, who's promised that He'd never fail me, never forsake me, never leave me, and that He would give me grace. We're staying in 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, for most of you, a familiar passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look with me in verse 6. Second Corinthians 12. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. In other words, don't think much of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So God put something into my life to keep me humble. That's what he's saying. God allowed something in my life that I would not be exalted above measure. He said this, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace, what? My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul, through the thorn in the flesh, I always like to take this opportunity real quick, a side note, to teach something that is contrary to another position that some churches take doctrinally, in that they say that if you're a Christian, you should never be sick. That if you're really right with the Lord, you wouldn't have any physical problems. Can I just tell you, Paul, throughout the rest of his Christian life, had a physical problem, and he wrote over half the New Testament. So that group, some of those Assembly of God and Pentecostals who teach that unbiblical truth, need to be careful with that. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. That's his words. But I do love the rest of that verse. He says, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. But God's promised not to take our problems away. He's promised to carry us through the problems. He's promised to give us power and strength to go through the problems. So Paul gained balance instead of bitterness. Paul gained balance instead of, he got better instead of bitter. We ought to be careful when we're going through circumstances of life that we don't become bitter. That we don't become bitter. Paul got balance through his adversities. His adversities, God did not give Paul a reason for the thorn in his flesh, but he gave him a promise. He gave him a promise. In verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that? That no matter what you may be up against, no matter what you may be facing, by the way, good or bad, there are good things that come into our life sometimes that causes stress and that can sometimes harm us if we're not careful. We need grace not only to handle the bad things, but sometimes to handle the good things. I don't know how many times good things, a new job or a better job or whatever it may be, may get somebody off track if we're not careful. We need God's grace in every circumstance. God did not give him the reason why. He just promised him that his grace was sufficient. Grace comforts us. The grace of God comforts us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm just turning back a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul said this in verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was always praying for them to have grace. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. But the comfort wherewith we are ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Again, he is the what? The comforter. God of all comfort. And he is the one who will comfort us and comforts us and gives us again that grace in the time of need. God will not always isolate us from harm, but he will surround us with his grace, which is sufficient for all things. God has never promised and His Word to take away all of our problems again, but He's promised to take us through those problems. He's promised to give us grace in our time of need. Grace to help in our time of need. Have you and are you experiencing that grace? You say, well, how do I receive that grace? How practically do I get that grace? The same way you got grace at salvation. It's free. It's free. Well, maybe I got to do this, this, and this, and this. Nope. Don't have to earn it. It's freely given. How did you get God's grace for salvation? Trusted in Him. You transferred your trust from any other source of salvation. You transferred your trust from good works. You transferred your trust from being born into a Christian family. Or you transferred your trust from maybe you were a member of another denomination. You thought, well, if I'm a member of this church, I'll go to heaven. Or maybe you got baptized and thought that was getting you to heaven. And at the point in which you transferred your trust from baptism or being a good person or giving to good causes or whatever it may be, the moment you transferred your trust from those things unto Christ, is the moment which the grace of God was applied to your life. Same thing when it comes to issues and things going on in our life. You don't earn it. You simply transfer your trust from your bank account. Bank account may be gone anyway. You transfer your trust from those doctors. Though we should rely upon God's given grace to the doctors too, amen? You transfer your trust from your physical abilities, your mental capacity, your education, whatever it may be. You transfer your trust from all those things you've been relying upon and all those things you've been depending upon, and you transfer your trust to Jesus Christ. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I can't save myself. Lord, save me. Lord, I can't overcome this obstacle in my life. I can't overcome this detour that you have allowed into my life. Lord, give me your grace. And He'll freely give it to you. You don't have to earn it. It's amazing to me how, again, we can accept the grace of God when it comes to salvation. We kind of get that, but we don't get it as good. We don't see it as good. We don't understand it as well when it comes to the grace that is given to us every day. We don't. Because we still think we got to earn it. We do. To a certain extent, as Christians, we just got that in our brains somehow, and it just won't go out. Rely upon the Lord. Sometimes what God does is He takes us to the very end of our rope. Man, He removes all the scaffolding. I mean, He removes it all. And all of a sudden, you find yourself hanging by a rope, and He puts you there so that you will trust Him. So that you will depend upon Him and quit depending upon yourself. I'm preaching to you, got one finger pointing at you and three pointing back at me, because all of us are this way. All of us are dependent upon ourselves. We have that selfish nature, that old nature. We want to depend on ourselves. Listen, I don't know what may be going on in your life tonight. And again, my heart's been burdened the last few weeks. God's grace is sufficient. But you have to trust Him. You have to transfer your trust from the other stuff. In America, we have it so good. I'm going to go home tonight, and we have enough food in our refrigerator to feed all of, half a country. I think I told y'all about this. We cleaned out our pantry here about 3 or 4 months ago. Oh, my goodness, we cleaned it out. You could have fed half a country with that. We threw it away. It was out. A bunch of this stuff was outdated. I'm like, how old is that? That was from 2020. Maybe we shouldn't eat that. God's been so God's been so good to us materially that we have a tendency to just try to rely on our stuff. And we need to rely upon Him. Rely upon Him. We have the grace of God when it comes to salvation, that stirring grace that He gives us and affords us, unmerited favor that He gives to us at the moment of salvation, and that's how we should also live life, in the grace that God gives us. His favor given to us without any strings attached. God's blessed grace. Grace, what a treasure we have. We are weak. We're just clay pots, but He is strong. Somebody who said this said the purpose of suffering is seen not in its cause, but in its results. But in its results. What is the result of the suffering in your life? Let God's grace comfort you and enable you in your time of need, because He is the God of all comfort. What happens? What is the result of that grace working in your life? Is a testimony to others. It's a testimony to others. I don't know how many Christians we have had in our church over the years who have been wonderful testimonies of the grace of God. Maybe Miss Susie Wooten's here of late is probably one of the best ones I know of, to see the God's grace in her life. What a testimony. What a testimony. God's grace is sufficient. Let's all stand. Go sing hymn 534, Cleanse Me. Cleanse me. After we pray, Heavenly Father, we come to You again thanking You for Your grace at the time of salvation. But Lord, may we see the importance of relying upon You and trusting You for that grace we need in our everyday life. The grace that we need driving to work, and the grace that we need dealing with our children, and the grace that we need dealing with our neighbor and our co-workers. God, may You give us grace to, in that time of need, when something comes into our life, a detour or some devastation that happens, I pray, God, that You would just give us that grace and power we need at the time we need it. You promised You would. Again, we thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 534.